And where are we holding?
So we are in Masechet Sanhedrin, in Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, looking at the laws of when we can overturn a verdict. When
and that's
we can,
33A.
When we can appeal a verdict, overturn it, and when we cannot do that, and whether or not the judge has to pay out of his own pocket for making a mistake. The two things are interlinked, but they're not exact. They're related, but they're not. They're two different criteria. One is, can we make a Can we overturn it?
Can we reverse it?
Reverse the decision. And the second point is, do we make the judge pay? They're linked, but they're not. But they're two separate criteria. So they don't follow each other necessarily, but they're related.
For the judge, it's whether he's an expert appointed by the court,
as to whether he has to pay,
or whether he's three cattle herders.
That's one of the criteria. We're going to see now in this sugya that there's different additional criteria on top of that which also decide whether or not he pays or not. So those are ones we learned already, but there are more issues involved that we're going to see now. Okay, so what do we have? So we had an issue. We started with our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said that in the case of monetary law, you can overturn the verdict for the zuchut or chova for either side. We then had a Mishnah in Bechorot which seemed to contradict that, mm-hmm. because it said that the judge had to pay from his own pocket if he makes a mistake. So if the judge is paying from his own pocket, it seems like there's no appeal. So how does it work? So we had a few different answers. The last answer we had was from Rav Sheshet. Rav Sheshet said the difference between those two Mishnahs is the one where the judge can reverse his decision is where he made a mistake in a Mishnah. But when he made a mistake in Shikul Dat, then he doesn't make reverse the verdict. He has to pay from his own pocket. Okay.
And so the if he made a mistake in the Mishnah, that would go all the way to rather than Shmuel.
Right. So not yeah. So the Gemara then clarified that when he said a mistake in the Mishnah, he also meant a mistake in the Braita, or a mistake between Rav and Shmuel, Amorayim, and even the swamp cutters themselves, Ravina and Ravashi, in their words, not mine. Top.
I think he was being
Sarcastic.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
Tom. That's what I should say about that.
About swamp cutters?
Yeah.
Anything? Let's have a look. But Gamma and Anu, are we, well, what he says, Achareish Amarti Lacha, after I told you that even a mistake in the words of the Amorayim, the last Amorayim, Chozer, you can reverse the decision. My garitinan mida achrini. Why are we any worse than those ones? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's why. Okay. So so now we're going to look at what does it mean shikul hadat. We said that for getting a Mishnah wrong or the writer wrong, you can reverse, but not for shikul hadat. Moshe now can explain to us what it means, shikul hadat. Hachi damei shikul hadat. What is this thing called shikul hadat? The weighing of opinions. Amara Papa. Now Papa says like this. Kagon, for example, Trei Tanai, or Trei Amorai, the Plige Ahadadei. for example, and a mistake in weighing up opinions is where you have machloket between two Tanaim or two Amoraim, and they disagree with one another. V'lo itma hilchata lo kama v'lo kama. And we didn't say that the law follows this one or that one. So if we have a machloket where the law is not decided, okay? V'ikar v'ikrei v'avad kachad minayhu. But, and the he happened to rule like one of them in this machloket. The sugya dishmata as leik idah, but most people go by the other of the opinion. I know shikol adat. This is a mistake in shikol adat.
So the logic of that would be, or his argument would be, that I'm going by what was taught by my rav. That could be an argument.
Okay, and so we're saying in this case where there is a mistake in shikol adat, then what's the result?
He doesn't have to pay.
He does have to pay because he can't overturn the verdict. He can overturn the verdict if it was a Mishnah.
Right.
So if you're overturning the verdict, you're not paying. Right, because you're overturning the verdict, you're reversing the decision.
Okay.
But in the case where you're not reversing the decision, because you can't, and this is a case where where we don't reverse the decision in shikul adat. So if there's no reversing of the decision, then potentially we make him pay. Again, it depends on the status of the judge. But putting that question aside, it's now available for him to be paying. Depending on his status as a cattle herder or an expert.
Right, but if he's an expert...
then he doesn't. But he's now in the category of, because we can't make an appeal on this, because we only appeal a mistake in Enema Forash Mishnah.
Right.
And a mistake in something that you could go either way on, so we don't appeal that.
Right, so in that other case... if it was someone who was not an expert, you know, like the corner growers, like Lipid, Bennett, or Bibi, they couldn't say they got it from the, you know, tradition from the Rav.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter about tradition from the Rav. Tradition from the Rav is not criteria in this right. Studio. Top. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So, Hainu Shikul Adat, that is what is Shikul Adat. Okay. Itayva Rav Hamnuna la Rav Sheshet. Rav Hamnuna challenges Rav Sheshet from a Mishnah. What does the Mishnah say? Maser Bepara, so Beit Menachem. It was a cow, maybe a cow of Beit Menachem, depending on if you read those extra words. She Nitzla Ha'em Shela, whose womb was taken out. Right, they took out the womb of the cow. Va'achila Rabbi Tarfon leklavim, and Rabbi Tarfon had it fed to the dogs. Right, because it was now considered to be by Rabbi Tarfon treif. What's the rules of treif? Treif is
you can't have any benefit from it.
Yeah, but what makes it treif?
Something that would the cow would die within a year.
Something that the cow would die within a year. So here Rabbi Tarfon said, if you take out its womb, it's going to die within a year. It's now treif. Can't eat it, can't use it. You have to feed it to the dogs. So that's what they did. They fed it to the dogs. Okay. Ubama ase lifnei hachamim. The matter came before the hachamim, b'yavna, in Yavna. Hitiruha. And they made it, hitiruha, they made it permissible, mutar. Right? They said it's not treif. Right, that Rabbi Tarfon got it wrong. Why? Shama todos harafer, because they said, like todos harafer, the doctor todos said, ein para b'chazira yotzeit me'alexandria shel mitzrayim. No cow or sow leaves Alexandria in Egypt. Ela im ken chotchin et, sorry, chotchin ha'em shela kedei shelo tilet, unless they first cut out its womb so that she cannot give birth. Right? So the cows in Alexandria in Egypt were so special breed, that they didn't want any competing breeding of these cows. So they took out the womb so that they couldn't give birth. So we see from here that they don't die within a year, because otherwise no one would ever, they wouldn't do that.
But
it wouldn't be any good.
Whether,
it wouldn't be any good to take out the womb if the cow's going to die. May as well just check the cow.
This is very unusual, isn't it?
Why? Why?
I mean, normally you don't take out the womb.
No, but you see from here that if you did take out the womb, that it wouldn't die.
Right.
This is a good proof to show you that if you did do that, you see from this case that cows don't die when you take out the womb. Therefore, it's not. It shouldn't be a trefa if you happen to do that with your cow. Right, so Amar Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Tarfon then said, when he heard that he made a mistake, Halacha Chamocha Tarfon. Sorry, Halchat Chamocha Tarfon. Your donkey is gone, Tarfon. Right, Tarfon, he's saying to himself, he's just lost his own donkey.
Namely, he would have to sell the donkey.
He would have to pay from
to
his own pocket.
Reimburse.
For the cow that he made a mistake on by calling it trade. Okay. Amala Rabbi Akiva, but Rabbi Akiva said to him, Patur ata, you are exempt. Shekol hamumcha l'rabim patur mishalem. Because all mumcha, all experts, are patur, or exempt. Right? So he made a mistake, but because he's an expert, he doesn't have to pay. I'm going to see the footnote here. Says here it calls him in the text an expert l'rabim, an expert of the masses. But
well,
actually,
he was
they change
by the
it.
Court as an expert, right?
Well, here they change it to the mumch of the Beit Din. That we saw there was a different. It's arguable whether or not we've got two different cases of mumch. One, if there's two types of mumch, there's really only one. If there's two types, one type is called. And a renowned expert, someone who is known to be expert in their field, and that's different maybe than an expert that's appointed by Beit Din. And if you're an expert appointed by Beit Din, you don't have to be famous and everybody know you, just have the appointment appointed by Beit Din.
Didn't we cover this before? Where was it? It was in the courts of Babylonia.
Yeah. Uh-huh. We did. So anyway, so that was the that's what they said to Rabbi Tarfon. He didn't have to pay. But now we have a problem. Over the page, be'i'ita. But if so, lema le to'eh b'davar mishneh ata. Why didn't he say to him, "You made a mistake"? In a Devar Mishnah. Right, we just said that Rabbi Tarfon, what was Rabbi Tarfon's mistake? He said that this cow was treif. And actually it was fine. How do we know it's fine? Because we said we learned in a Mishnah about the cows in Egypt. Right, those cows in Egypt, that teaching came from a Mishnah.
No, it came from Todas the physician.
Yeah, but Todas, that's a Mishnah. Which says
it is.
Yeah. Hold on.
Because initially they were normally clothed.
Let's see. I think this is all the Mishnah. Wait a minute. It's a good question.
Because it's not quoting a Mishnah.
Uh-huh. Ah, Rabbi Abraham. Okay, told. Yeah, still here.
Yeah, please.
No. There is a different Mishnah. Sorry, Rashi says it's a different Mishnah. It's not the Mishnah we just learned. It's a different Mishnah. Let's see the Rashi. There we go. Torah B'Davar Mishnah. Stam Mishnah Haya Be'ilu Tufot. Okay. Tov, let's bring Rabbi Abraham up to speed on what we're doing. We said yesterday that we can reverse a decision in court if the judge makes an error in a Mishnah or in a Braita or in an Amorite dispute, but not if he makes a mistake in something called Shikul Adat. So today we're looking at what is Shikul Adat. Okay. So we're looking at what is Shikul Adat. So we said that Shikul Adat is where the judge makes a mistake in a matter of a machloket, Tanayim or Amorayim, where the halacha hasn't been stated in the name of either one of them. It's been left as a machloket. And he chooses one side, but the public consensus goes with the other opinion. The halacha has not been stated, but everybody goes by one opinion, and he went by the other. So that's a mistake in Shikul Adat, according to this understanding. And if that's the case, then the judge has to pay from his own pocket. But if he made a mistake in a Mishnah or in a right, then we could just reverse on the basis that you made bad law. The law, ultimately, what we're trying to do, right? A judge has to make law lafi alacha, lafi what Hashem wants. So if you got the law wrong, we've got to put it back. We've got to make it straight, make it according to how it should be. But it could, the fact that we've got an argument tonight or Amoraic argument, so it could be. So it's nothing that we have to fix. But he did make a mistake, and that's not how we generally pass in these things.
He's not punished if he makes a mistake in halakha, but if
it's a fine, yeah. If he makes a big mistake, we can undo it.
Okay.
We can undo it. He's okay.
And he's not penalized.
He is not penalized. No. Yeah.
Right, except for one major thing.
Yeah.
The cow's been fed to the dogs.
Yeah, okay, but in that case, but in a general case.
Meaning that it's more difficult, or wait. Meaning that.
Yeah.
If you don't read the newspapers, maybe she called that, if you're not updated. But if you don't know the halakha, which is what it was, then, you know. You'll be penalized for that, for all the not knowing the updates, for not keeping up with okay. Any law journals or whatever.
Yeah.
But it seems to me. No?
I don't know how we'd.
No.
It's like, yeah, you've got another day before Shabbos, so you can make a good. nice one of the. The
only time we were supposed to be reading the newspapers because the Washington Horror.
That's what it seems to be saying.
Yeah.
It's not instructions to read newspapers. It's not a good Josh to make them. You see from here. Tov. Okay, so where did we get to? So we said that we had a case of. So we're challenging that opinion. That's the opinion of Rav Sheshi. Right? However, we're challenging that by giving over a Mishnah where Rabbi Tarfon made a mistake. Rabbi Tarfon declared a cow treif. Why did he declare the cow treif? Because the farmer cut out its womb. Why did it? Doesn't really matter. He did cut out its womb. Rabbi Tarfon says, no, this is treif. What's this, the definition of treif is that it can't last. Generally speaking, it doesn't last 12 months, right? If it doesn't last 12 months, it has a disease, a defect, that won't, then we declare it treif, even if it's still alive right now. Right? You can't shecht it and eat it now. It's now considered to be treif.
So
yes, Rabbi Menachem.
apologize.
Now,
so you cut out the womb of
yes.
a cow, it's wounded more than 12 months.
That's the first opinion. We're about to reject that and say, no, it's not true. But that's what Rabbi Tarfon thought, and that's why he declared it trade.
Okay, learning, you know.
But if you have to stay to the end of the year to learn that that's not the correct. If you leave in the middle and you rely on that ruling, we're going to be in trouble.
But Tarfon was known for great matters.
He was, yeah. Tarfon. That's how you remember. So what happened?
I just wonder how he'd deal with today's modern technology. Antibiotics, GMOs, etc.
So what happened here? So in this case, after he made the ruling, they fed it to the dogs. Right? Because they said it was treif. So then what happened? So then the case came before the sages in Yavna, and they said, no, it's fine. Why? Because we learned from Todos the Rafe, Todos, who told us that the cows of Alexandria in Egypt were so valuable that they didn't want anyone copying those cows. So they would cut out the womb before they sold them to make sure they didn't give birth and breed them. Right? So he said, you see from here that they wouldn't be trained. They wouldn't be cutting out wombs if they were about to die. Right? So we learn from here that cutting out the womb, it doesn't render an animal trade. Therefore, Rabbi Tarfon heard that he'd made a mistake. And he declared, Tarfon, your donkey is gone. Oy vavoy, meaning Tarfon, like telling himself, you're going to have to sell your donkey to pay for the mistake you just made. Rabbi Akiva comes along and solves the problem and says, don't worry, Rabbi Tarfon. There's a rule which says that an expert appointed by Beit Din or expert of the masters, depending on the Nusach, doesn't have to pay. Right? We learn that experts don't have to pay. So you're fine. You made a mistake, but you're an expert, and we learn that experts don't have to pay those things. So that's where we're up to. So we still haven't got to the Kushya yet as to why that's a Kasha on our original explanation of Rav Sheshet. So we're on Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph. We are towards the end of the thin lines. The Iyata. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines up from the end of the thin lines. The Iyata. But now, Lema Le Toeh B'Dabar Mishnat Ata. We should have told, Rabbi Akiva should have said to him, right, to Rabbi Tarfon, you made a mistake in a Mishnah. That's why you don't have to pay. Not you don't have to pay because you're an expert. But to our Mishnah, Hosea, we learned that a person who makes a mistake in the Mishnah doesn't have to pay. What's the Mishnah? So when you came in, we were just looking for the Mishnah. I thought that Rabbi Tarf, the cow, was a Mishnah. So no, it says in Rashi that we're talking about Chulin. There's a Mishnah in Chulin which says explicitly that an animal which doesn't have a womb is not a trade. Okay, so he made a mistake, Rabbi Tarfon, in a matter of a Mishnah when he declared a trade. And that's the reason why you shouldn't have to pay. So it appears to be, so that appears to be a kasha on Rav Sheshet. Because Rav Sheshet told us that if you make a mistake in a Mishnah, you can reverse the decision. So if this was an obvious mistake in the Mishnah, which apparently it was, why was Rabbi Tarfon all upset? He surely knows the law that if you make a mistake in the Mishnah, you can go back. Oh, the ask in the footnote, how could he have made a mistake in the Mishnah? Like Rabbi Tarfon, they meant to know all the Mishnahs. Tarfon, they discussed how that could happen. But anyway, we'll put that aside and carry on with the Gemara. The Gemara says, so we've got an answer. Hada ba'od ka'ma. He's saying this and another one. So he's saying Hada to'eh b'davar mishneh ata. He's saying this and another one. He's saying two points. And Rabbi Akiva came along and told him, you don't have to pay because you're an expert. So the Gemara answers the problem by saying, when he said you don't have to pay because you're an expert, he means also you don't have to pay. You also made a mistake in the Mishnah, and therefore we can. And even if you also you've got 2 points, two things. This and another one. Chada Toa b'dvar Mishnata. One thing is that you made a mistake in the Mishnah. The Toa b'dvar Mishnah Chazer. The person who makes a mistake in the Mishnah can reverse his decision. But odd, and additionally, Inami also b'shikol adat taita. You made a mistake in shikol adat. Mumcha merabim ata, and you are mumcha rabim. Mekom mumcha rabim patom melashalem. And anyone who's a mumcha in that situation is exempt. Top, so that's okay. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak l'Rava. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak says to Rava, "My kamotiv Rav Hamnuna l'Rav Sheshet." What was the challenge that Rav Hamnuna made to Rav Sheshet? Mi para? Is it from the cow? Para hare ha'achila l'klavim v'leita l'hitada. If he was really making the challenge based on this, why would he bring the case of the cow? In the case of the cow, you already fed it to the dogs. So you can't reverse the decision. Not a good case to bring to decide whether or not you can reverse decisions. Because this one you can't. Right? At least bring something that you can reverse. This one you can't reverse. You can't learn from this case. You couldn't reverse it anyway. Hachi kamale. So this is what he was saying to him. If you want to say that it's fine for the one who makes a mistake in a Mishnah, that he cannot reverse his decision. Why would he say that? What is wrong if you say that one who makes a mistake in a Mishnah cannot reverse his decision? Alma kamdina. Therefore, the verdict stands. Hainu deka mafchid Rabbi Tarfon. This is why Rabbi Tarfon was upset. Let's read it and then we'll try and understand it. But kamar le'ihu mumcha lebeitin ata. And he said to him, you're an expert, proved by the court. But patur mishalem, therefore you're exempt. Ela, but iamata ta'ab deva mishnah v'chozer. But if you would have said that a person who makes a mistake in a Mishnah can reverse his decision, he should have told him, since if the cow were alive, Dina Lav Dina Veloklum Avanta, your verdict would not be valid and it would be like you did nothing. Hashtanami Loklum Avanta. Now too, even though the cow is dead, you also did nothing. What's he saying? So he's saying like this. I'm not clear whether this is a challenge or not. He's saying, in a difficult way, he's saying, how would it have helped? He would say, let's say it outside and then we'll try and see it in here. He's saying outside, how would it have helped if he already fed it to the cow, to the dogs? So he's saying, if we allow you to reverse the decision based on the rules are that if you made a mistake in a Mishnah, you can reverse. If we allow that, then that rule applies regardless of whether or not you can actually physically reverse the decision. It's irrelevant whether or not you can get the cow back. We can reverse the decision nonetheless to declare what was treif tahor, what was tahor tameh. So you can reverse the decision even though there's still a consequence. But it doesn't mean that you can't reverse the decision. So you could still reverse the decision even though there's been a loss. Right? The decision was to declare the animal treif or kosher. And you can still make that right. Before, when I said it was treif, I was wrong. It's actually kosher. Separately, there's a consequence. consequences based on the decision I made. You went and disposed of it, or gave it away, or threw it away, or ate it, or you did what you did. But that's called a grammar. A grammar is something that you caused to happen, but you're not liable for a grammar in different situations. But generally speaking, this is one of them. The judge is not liable for a grammar. The grammar is the result. He didn't actually cause it. He caused it for sure based on what you told me. I went and did something, but I didn't actually do it. Right? There's an indirectly I caused it. Direct, indirect. Maybe we can say grammar is indirect causation. Here's an indirect causation. I said it was treif, and then you went and did what you did based on that. It's indirect, but I didn't cause it. And the Gemara is now going to come on to what is a real cause, where he actually took money from one and gave it to the other. So then he has to give the money back. You're going to see that now inside. That if the judge actually took the money, right, you owe him 100 shekels, pay up. Thank you very much. Now I have to pay it back. Because I'm the judge, I actually took the money. But where I made a decision, and on the back of that decision, you went and did something, that's not my, according to this understanding. I don't like that. I think that's what he's saying. I'm just checking the footnotes to make sure I haven't steered you.
But on the positive point of view, isn't it positive that the person actually listened to the judge and did what the judge recommends?
Yeah, I mean, look, Tom, in the bigger picture, it's all the fish of mine, right? Exactly how it was meant to be, right? He lost his cow and he didn't get paid for it. Tom, exactly what Hashem wanted. But down here, it's more difficult for us to accept. He also indicates here, it's not clear from the footnotes, he also indicates here maybe that because the decision is potentially reversible, so also it's not his fault. If the decision had been irreversible, then he would have caused the loss by declaring it treif. If it was irreversible, then he's destroyed the animal. Right? He's called it treif. Right? But because it's potentially reversible, then it's not, then I think maybe that's what he's saying. That it's not necessarily his fault. It's a grammar if you then rely on that and go and do something based on the back of it.
But he did call it treif.
He did, but it was potentially reversible. Saying that in a case where you made a mistake in a Mishnah, it's reversible. Right? If you go to court and the court makes a bad decision, and instead of going to appeal it, you say fine, and then you go in, right? So you could argue, if it was an obvious mistake, you could argue like that's what that it's not appropriate to go and make
appeal. I went to show faith what I should do, what's the kosher or not.
Now, fine, you're right. But here we say, I don't, because it's a Mephorash Mishnah. I know the different criteria that are involved in that. And the result of that is, I'm not sure what the result of that is in terms of how we were holding on Rav Sheshet and whether or not it still stands or it's valid. Let's just read it again. Your next one, exempt. If you say the order, that it would be valid. So two. Rav Chista Amar, Rav Chista says, Rav Chista offers a different interpretation of the contradiction between the original two Mishnahs, the one that says that you can reverse the decision and the one that says no, the judge has to pay. What's the difference? Can shenatal v'natan b'yad, can shalonatal v'natan b'yad. One is a case where the judge himself took the money and gave it himself, and one is where he didn't. Where the judge took the money and gave it himself, then you can't reverse the decision, right? And the judge has to pay himself. But if he didn't take the money and give it to the other by himself, then he can reverse the verdict. That's what the Rav Chista is saying. Right, Rashi says on that. Rav Chista, turn it again. If he didn't give the money himself, so in the other case where he didn't take the money himself is a case where he tells the litigant to go and go get your money from the other guy. A litigant himself goes and gets it. In that case we can reverse the decision, but not where the judge himself has actually handed the money over. The Gemara says on that suggestion, Bishloma Chayev et HaZakai. It's fine in the case of Chayev et HaZakai, where the judge declares an innocent person liable, right? The non-liable party to be liable, right? In that case, he's taken money from someone who didn't have to give money, and he gave it to the other one. Kagon Shnatal Manatan Bayad. In the case where he took the money himself and gave it to the other. And Azikata Chayav, but in a case where he told an innocent person, in a case where he told a liable person that he was innocent, how can you find a case? If the judge told him, you know what, you don't have to pay. Right? So then no money moved hands. Judge didn't do anything. So how can you find a case where that decision is reversible? No, it's not reversible. Because there's no movement of money. So we don't have the case of a judge taking money from one and give it to another.
Didn't we cover in the beginning where you can appeal whether it's for either party?
Yeah, so that's what he's saying. So that's why he's saying, how does this work? If you can, the Mishnah told us you can chayev et hazakai or zakai et chayev, you can reverse. But here we see right. So there couldn't be a case then that the judge couldn't overturn. We wouldn't find a case there where the judge handed the money over himself. And therefore, we wouldn't find a case that the Mishnah, the second Mishnah, says that you can't appeal it. Second Mishnah says you can't appeal. So how can that second Mishnah say you can't appeal when there's no case there to say that one? Amale patorta. Where he said to him, you're not obligated. In that case, he didn't give the money from one to the other. So the Gemara answers, since the judge said, you are pator, since he told the litigant that he doesn't have to pay, it's as if he gave the money from one to the other. As soon as he says, you don't have to pay him, it's as if he gave him the money. That 100 shekels, which you would have otherwise had to have paid, when I tell you, you don't have to pay it, I've given it to you. It's as if I gave it to you. I handed you the money back that you actually were liable to pay. So there is still a case of the judge handing it over, putting it into his hand, so to speak. Tov. Ela matnitin de katane dine mamanot machazirin bein l'zuchut bein l'chava. Rather, therefore, our Mishnah, which teaches that monetary claims can be appealed for zechut or chava, Now, it's fine in the case of Zuchut that we can find a case of reversing that. The Male Mikara Chayavata, because it's where the judge declares you're liable. Volonatam Volonatam Yid, and he didn't take money from one to the other. Ala Chova Hechi Mashka Ale, but where do you find the case of Chova? The Amale Patoata, where he says you're not liable. Vamata Kevan Da Amale Pator Ta Kamosh Natan Matan Mayat. You just said that when the judge declares you're not liable, it's as if he said that it's as if he's giving from one to the other. So how can you reverse the verdict in that case? Hadakatane. So really, the Gemara says, it's one thing which it's teaching. The Mishnah is teaching one thing. Dine mamanot machzirin l'zchut shechi chovat. The verdicts in monetary cases can be reversed for zechut. In the case of a zechut, a non-liability, shechi chovat, which is a liability for the other one. What does it mean? So what's it mean? So he means saying that our Mishnah, when our Mishnah said that you can reverse a monetary claim either for Zuchut or Chava, it didn't mean that. It actually meant only one way. There's only one way you can reverse. The one way that you reverse is only in the case of Zuchut, which is, or is also, even or if it's also a chova for the other one. Right? By saying that one person is innocent, he doesn't have to pay, he's really causing a loss to the other guy. So that's the chut, which is a chova. And in that case, you can reverse it. But in the other case, you wouldn't be able to. In the other case, you would be able to.
You mean saying that, ruling that the person is liable to pay, you couldn't reverse that?
Apparently, yes. Why not? You wouldn't reverse the case where you say he is liable. Yeah, that's what it appears to be, but it doesn't make so much sense. What we're trying to do is we're trying to make it fit the two Mishnahs together. That's what Rav Chis is trying to do here. He's trying to say our two Mishnahs appear to contradict one another. So how do we make it so that one says that you can reverse and the other one says that you can't, you have to pay up? So we have to say that our Mishnah is talking about a specific case that the other Mishnah is not talking about. The case where you can reverse has to be the case of where the party was told he was innocent and actually he was liable. And then that fits the two missions together. Though actually how it does that, I haven't worked out the mechanics. So I think I'll leave on that confused but happy note. And we'll continue with this. Bishat Hashem.